It's time to open God's word together. Before we do that, let's bow our heads in prayer to ask God to make us ready for this. Father God, as we open your word now, as you speak to us through it, we ask that you will make the way clear. Breathe your spirit into this place. Open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our minds to understand. Lord, help us to claim for ourselves what you would teach us. Make us more and more yours, Lord, each day, and give us grace for the journey. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading this morning from Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. We have been doing a series over the summer on just great Bible stories. Some of the ones that stand out as favorites for us as kids. And this is one of them, Moses and the burning bush. So let's hear this story together. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, Oh, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. The word of the Lord. People of God, there are a lot of refugees fleeing to Canada. And when they come to this country, they often tell very sad stories. Well, what I want us to do this morning is to imagine that their story was your story. That you were someone who had managed to escape. You were smuggled out of one of these countries where dictators and militias were running amok. And now you are standing in front of us with a desperate message. Your family, the people you love, are still back there. Picture them in your mind. Your family, afraid, hiding, being caught and beat up on the streets. What would be your mentality? What words would be on your lips to make us understand? Maybe you would be up here in tears pleading, Please, my family is suffering, and every day they live in fear. One of my daughters has already been killed. Can you help me rescue my family. Well, this is a message that we hear from God this morning. It is the burning bush, a bush burning not with fire, but with the presence of God. And from that bush, God grabs the attention of a shepherd named Moses. And he calls to him, telling him a tragic story, asking for his help. My people, my children, are in slavery. They are suffering. They have become slaves in Egypt, and their masters are cruel to them. They suffer beatings and hard labor. The Pharaoh has even ordered some of their babies killed. They are crying to me for help. And the sound of their sorrow has become a constant wail in my ear. Can you hear it? Can you imagine the sounds that would fill God's ears? The sounds of pain, suffering, and grief? Well, is it different today? Imagine our world today as God hears it. Not simply hundreds of thousands or millions of people, but billions of voices crying out, each with a different story. One of those voices is from a child living on the streets, a man. And he is just so desperately broken. His marriage has fallen apart. She got the kids, and he is not allowed to see them. And now he wanders the streets, lost and alone, drowning in grief and depression. He can keep a brave face on most of the time, but God hears the sad internal voice crying out. A young girl on the playground has just had her friends tell her that they hate her and they don't want her to play with them anymore. God hears her pain and her tears, and he wants to answer her. The single mom in 422B is struggling to raise three kids by herself. And in the midst of that, she is trying to work through the lingering pain of being abused as a child. And she fights this battle alone. God hears her cry. God's people in other countries are facing persecution. Their churches are being burned. And some of them are being hauled out of their homes and businesses and beaten in the streets. The cries of God's people are a relentless wave of noise, an overwhelming din of grief, pain, suffering, and loss. And this echoes constantly in God's ears. And some of those cries come from inside this very room, from you and me, as we battle grief and loss, as we weep for the loss of a friend or a family member, in our worries for our kids, what they're doing, what might happen to them, the choices they're making, or as we struggle beneath burdens of pain and regret. Some of us here this morning are feeling lost and are searching for answers to some very hard things. And we sometimes wonder if God really is out there and that he hears our cries. God does hear us in our sufferings, but he also sees us in our chains, and he wants to do something. The Bible shows us a picture that says that you and I are in many ways like kids who have run away from home and rejected the Father who loves us. And as we did that, we became slaves to our foolish choices, to our debts, to our addictions. You and I are too often held in thrall to a constant barrage of pleasures, new toys, and childish pursuits. God sees us, his children, in chains, and he wants to rescue us. In our text for today, we see that God does hear. And he moves to answer. He says, "The cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses, I am a God on a mission. I am going to rescue my people from their suffering and their slavery. So pack up your things. I want you to represent my concerns to Pharaoh. You know, there's a classic Jewish phrase that shows up in our text that we see in a number of situations where God comes to someone and calls to them. And it's that phrase, Hineni, here I am. They are the words the boy Samuel spoke when God called to him. And the prophet Isaiah too answered God with these words. He said, here I am, send me. With Moses, we catch a little reluctance. I mean, he does say, here I am, but the send me line, not so much. Instead, we hear fear and anxiety. We hear his questions, his words, who am I that you would choose me for this? I've got nothing. What do I have to bring to the table on this? And it makes sense to us, his questions. If God sent one of us to Bashar Assad, the dictator of Syria, with a command from God to stop using chemical weapons and to make peace with the rebels, wouldn't we be a little bit more nervous? Wouldn't we be asking those same questions? It's like, you want me to do this? I'm nobody. Moses is a shepherd to go talk to a king. But God says, I'm sending you. I think we would find our own voices sounding very much like Moses. God, you want me to do something for you. Here I am. And then after we learn the mission, we would likely say, please don't send me. But God's love and grace proves much stronger here than Moses' reluctance. He doesn't let Moses off the hook. Instead, he says, this is my name. I am. I am who I am. I am the living God. And I will be going with you on this journey. I will tell you what to say. I will give you this staff by which you will perform many signs and wonders. And I will use my mighty hand to make Pharaoh let my people go. I am going to rescue my people, and you are my chosen instrument. Even with all God's assurances, Moses stays reluctant to go. He is afraid to go and be used by God to rescue his people. He says again and again, please, God, don't send me. As we study Scripture, we encounter a God of tremendous love and grace and passion. He is a father who loves his children and who sees them struggling. And his great love sends him on a mission to rescue them. Theologians sometimes refer to that mission as the Missio Dei, the mission of God. Kevin Harney is a pastor in California, and he tells a wonderful story just to try and illustrate the Missio Dei, the mission of God. And he tells a story about being in a movie theater, and being a fiddler, he pulled his wedding ring off and was just playing with it while the show was going. And of course, he dropped it, and it rolled, and he could not find it. If you know anything about movie theater floors, you know that they get really sticky and gross from spilled pop and junk food and popcorn. Well, this was his wedding ring that he was after, so he got down on his hands and knees, and he had to search several rows. And in the search, his hands and knees and shoes got all dirty and sticky with filth. And at one point, it occurred to him, hey, maybe the ring fell into one of the grooves, you know, between the seats, at the base of the seats. So he began digging around in there. And he says he found all kinds of surprises, but no ring. Now, why would he do something like that? Get down and crawl around in this sticky mess. He does it because this ring is something precious to him. It is a symbol of the love that he has for his wife. And he says, that love mattered so much to me that I willingly pressed my fingers into the goop between the legs of the theater chairs. Here's a question for us. Suppose you and I were in that theater and we see this man on the floor crawling around, and he reaches up and he grabs us and he says to us with desperation, "Will you help me, please? I can't find it anywhere." What would you do? Would you get down yourself on your hands and knees in the goop? If you're like me, you would have that panicked moment of processing all the details. Okay, it's like, exactly how sticky are my shoes just from sitting in the, walking on the floor? Don't I have somewhere else I need to be right now? You know, you just have that panic moment. And, you know, then you would have it. Well, here I am is one possible answer. And sorry, I'm not available to help you right now. I have to go. There's some, you know, my car is, the lights are on. I think I left them. So I have to go. Well, the Bible shows us very clearly that our God and Father has embarked on a mission to rescue what was precious to him. His children, independent, foolish, and rebellious, lost, lonely, hurting. He saw our plight, and he came down to earth to rescue us. He took on flesh as a man named Jesus. He entered into the sticky and messy existence that you and I live in. And he waded through it all to rescue us, to make a way for us to come home. You and I, we are the targets of his search. We are precious to God, and he loves us enough to enter into our mess to reclaim us from it. And that love of God and mission of God is the great story that Christians tell. We still tell this story because we believe our God is still moving in the world today. That God has breathed out his Spirit on the church. His presence has gone out into the whole world. And his Holy Spirit is already at work in the life of that man on the street or in the home of that single mom in 422B. He is giving strength and shelter to Christians facing persecution in other parts of the world, and he is present with us today in our pews, comforting us in our grief. He is giving us peace and rest from our burdens. He is here with us today, challenging our chains and poking holes in our excuses that justify all the things we choose to do with our time. This is the Missio Dei, God's mission, to seek and to save that which is lost, to rescue those he loves from their own foolishness and mess, to gather them home. In our text for today, God shows up in a burning bush. He does this because he wants to get Moses' attention. He wants him to see and hear his mission and join him in answering the cries of his people. You and I are given the same invitation to be a part of God's answer to the cries of the least, the lost, and the lonely. We have a God who is at work on his knees in the mess of this world, and he asks us to join him, to get down on our knees ourselves, to pray, to be his open and watchful eyes, to be his listening ears as someone tells us their story, to be serving hands, a loving heart, following feet. And how will we answer his call? From the burning bush, we hear the heart of a God on a mission. His ears are filled with the cries of the suffering. His heart grieves, as ours do, for the wandering and selfish actions of his children. In answer to the cries of his people, our God has entered into our mess to wrestle us out of that which keeps us stuck, hurting, and in pain. Together with all over the world, we join in praying for and working for the success of God's mission, both here in this place and all across the world. Amen.